And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Me. I'm Bill Arnold. I'm awfully glad we get this time to be together. I hope your day's going well, and maybe you're having a short week. Maybe you're going to get a couple of holidays this week. I know it's going to be a great time to celebrate with families and join up with loved ones and celebrate what our great country that we live in, because it is a great country, and we have to do everything we can to maintain our liberty, I think, as Benjamin Franklin said. It's important to, can we keep our liberties? And it seems like we're being challenged every day on that. So, anyway, this story caught my attention. I found it kind of amusing. This poor California guy is cleaning out his garage, which is, you know, a good reminder. You should clean out your garage every 47 years or so. Because he came across a book that he checked out from a library 47 years ago. And he decided to return it. So I thought that was kind of good. He expected to pay a big fine. He took it there, and they said, nah, we're going to let you off the hook. So I wonder what that would have been, what that fine would have been. So let's say 30 cents a week times 12, it's a couple of thousand dollars. Must have been a good book. And what else is in the news that caught my eye today? Jimmy Stewart died today on this day. He was 89 years old, one of the great actors of all time. I love Jimmy Stewart. I love his movies. And what else? 1985, General Motors announced the installation of electronic road maps in some of their higher-priced cars. Could you imagine trying to live without GPS nowadays? I mean, we have literally forgotten how to look at maps and read maps. I know I have. Why would I get a map? I just GPS. I love it. All right, I'm looking at Proverbs today, and I'm seeing in chapter 3, starting at verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. I love Proverbs. I try to spend a little time there every day. So we have a really great show today. I'm looking forward to all of our guests coming on. We're going to talk to Annie F. Downs, who is a very engaging author, and she was in town not that long ago for a big Set Apart conference. She was great. And then my friend Adam Weber from Sioux Falls, Embrace Church, is going to be joining me. And then in hour two, writer Rebecca Ree is going to be on the program. She's got a very quick wit and amazing sense of humor, and I really enjoy her. And then one of my favorite philosophers, Doug Gruthaus, is going to be on the second half of hour two. That's all ahead. Take a short break and be right back.
For over 70 years, Faith Radio's had the privilege of sharing the gospel. Those hard-fought freedoms established at our country's founding have provided us the opportunity to offer relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching without apology. We're grateful for our nation and the principles of religious freedom. And even though threats to free expression of faith grow every day, we're committed to sharing the good news of the gospel till Jesus comes. Your prayer and financial support are the key. Thanks for partnering with us at myfaithradio.com.
I'm a regular listener and supporter. We love your show. You're doing a good job, and I try to listen every day. So God bless you. Thanks again. God bless you.
Share your story of how Faith Radio has impacted your life when you call the toll-free Faith Line at 877-93-FAITH. Leave a message anytime at 877-933-2484. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to the show. It's 7 minutes after the hour. Annie F. Downs is a best-selling author and speaker, and she loves doing her podcast. in Nashville, she just said to me before we went on the air, there's always a microphone around her, which is great. She's written a book that we're going to hopefully get a chance to chat about today called Remember God. Annie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Bill. I love your million people reading you scripture. That's amazing.
But that's the goal. That's the goal. Then I'm going to go get a tattoo.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about your background and your faith journey. That's always of great interest to both me and the listeners.
Sure. I grew up in Georgia outside of Atlanta and grew up in a Christian home. And so I kind of spent a ton of time growing up going to church and being involved in my church. In fact, I used to joke that if the doors were unlocked and the Coke machine was taking quarters, we were there. So I loved it. I grew up in that time when I'm in my mid-30s. So I grew up in that time when youth group was really kind of taking off. It felt like in a lot of ways that was in our community, at least it was kind of a center of a lot of social communities. And so I just loved it and went to University of Georgia and continued in my faith walk there as a part of the Wesley Foundation. But I also kind of, when I got to college, was when I got to really ask some questions and kind of process some things that I just always believed because I had always believed them. And then I changed a little bit in college where I kind of went, okay, am I believing this because my parents told me to or because I want to?
Mm-hmm.
And that journey was really important to me. To this day, I still say my sophomore year of college when I was 20 years old is probably the most transformational year because it was also one of the darkest years where I went, oh, what if all this isn't real? And what if I don't want to spend my time like this? And I think you need to go there, especially when you're raised in a Christian home and especially when you kind of faith is so tightly intermingled with family and relationships versus people who choose it later in life. At some point you need to make the decision for yourself as well, as a grown up. And so I was grateful to do that. And I've spent the last 10 years in Nashville, Tennessee, where I really have wrestled with God's kindness the last couple of years of what do you do when your life doesn't look the way you thought it would, when you had this one set of plans and those aren't the plans you're living on.
Mm-hmm.
And is God really as kind as he says he is? And can we really remember that God is who he says he is, even when our circumstances tell us different?
So, Annie, did you have like a rebellious phase? Like maybe in 10th grade, you started chewing gum in the hallways or something?
Right. That's about,
what happened? Come on. You're like this perfect kid.
No.
I want to get your mom on this call. Let's patch her in at the break because seriously, they did something right.
Well, they did. They really did. They did something right. But my rebellion was always way more secretive. And my sin was way more secretive because I thought I'm supposed to be this good Christian girl on the outside. But on the inside, I'm dealing with, not telling the truth all the time and just saying what I think people want to hear,
mm-hmm.
or lust or overeating or all these kinds of kind of like I wanted to take everything. Now that I'm an adult, I kind of understand that in my personality type is I'm an Enneagram 7 if you speak Enneagram, and my personality type is very outgoing and very there is never too much, more is always better than what you have right now. And so I always overdid that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was way easy to be more secretive about those kind of sins than to have this outward rebellious phase that I didn't want to get in trouble. I was a people pleaser and so I never wanted to be in trouble. I just wrestled internally far more than I wrestled externally.
Mm-hmm. I think we all get the idea that God is loving and God is definitely good and powerful and big. I think a lot of people do struggle, Annie, with the idea that, is he really kind? Is he going to be nice to me?
Right. Right. And I mean, I think him asking whether he's good or not is true too, because we see so much tragedy and we see so much pain and the things Christians flip back and forth between each other about, like, God, God is good. Always, you can always depend on God. He's always good. He's good. He's good. And then you go like, well, my life is terrible. But now I can't even say that out loud because then people will think that I'm not a good Christian because I'm not saying he's good. And it's a real, challenging spot for me and for a lot of my friends is Remember God has come out and people have kind of told me their experience. So it seems like a lot of us who just want to be able to tell the truth that we are struggling to believe that God is who he says he is, but we believe it. We just want to understand more, kind of like Jacob wrestling. Once Jacob got his people across, he came back and wrestled with God all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that that I feel that way. I feel like I'm a wrestler. Like there's a limp here, but there's also a blessing here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we kind of need to give more of our friends permission to go like, I know what the Bible says about God, but that's not what I'm experiencing of God. What do I do about that?
Yeah. Annie, do you think that there's too many people that are processing that idea of God through their own personal emotions and those can't be trusted?
Oh, for sure. And I think that's what I do and have done in the past of looking at my life through my lens and going, if this isn't working the way I understood it to work, then God is doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even had a conversation yesterday with a friend where we said, it's not that God will disappoint you. It's that your expectations disappoint you and you put your expectations in a place that you thought God would do a certain thing and he didn't. But the other beautiful thing, Bill, with as much as I know of you and I know how much you love scripture and love the Lord, the other beautiful thing is God is so okay with us going there. You know, like he's totally okay with going, yeah, I bet that is really hard. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Let's talk about what it's like for you to feel like I've let you down and for you to feel, I mean, my counselor even this morning said, you're allowed to say to God that you're upset about this.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I just sometimes need people to remind me that even at times when I filter my experience of God through my emotions, if I will recenter and experience God through scripture and acknowledge my emotions, that's the healthiest place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we couldn't talk that way to God, I don't think he would have left Psalm 88 in the Bible because, you know, in Psalm 88, it pretty much ends without any hope. And
right.
The Heman, the writer, says, I'd rather be alone or asleep than with you, God.
Yeah. I think a lot about that part where David said, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. Like, where can I flee from your presence? And I used to always think it was like this really sweet thing for him going like, where can I go? And there have been times in my life, especially the last few years, where I've been like, where can I go?
Yeah.
If I go here, you're there. If I go there, you're there. You know, more like, what if, and we can't know because we can't know David's tone, but what if David's tone was more like, I am so frustrated that I want to get away from you and I can't.
Yeah.
You know, but there and there I have days like that, too. But that's the beauty of scripture to me is that it remains true even when I can't, even if I'm blowing in the wind, scripture is not.
Yeah.
And so if I tie myself to the God of the scripture, it's OK if I blow in the wind like a flag. I'm not going to blow away.
Right. Yeah. And what's going to solve all these emotions about God's kindness is the first nanosecond in heaven.
Ugh. Right. I know. How many of our friends and family that have gone before us are like, if only Annie could understand, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, you just wait.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I've had a lot of friends, and this is probably true for a lot of us, but I have a lot of friends that seem to be in an extreme amount of pain right now, and it just feels really dark all around me. And something that my pastor said is he said, we're just on the wrong side of heaven.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, yeah. This is so temporary. And that's a little bit scary and a little bit, the forever thing kind of freaks me out sometimes, but it to know that there is a place without pain that is coming makes me handle and persevere in my pain better here and want to make sure I'm inviting all my people to come along with me.
Yeah, Annie, it says a lot about you too, that there's, you know what's going on in the lives of a lot of people and friends. So in other words, they're coming to you and they can trust some of their dark thoughts and some of their pain with you. So, you know, you're aware of it all. So God bless you for being that person in so many people's lives.
Oh gosh. If we're not, my three closest friends that are still in Atlanta where I grew up, we have this saying that we are forever cleaning up messes in each other's lives that we didn't make, right? Like the best thing you can do for your friends is help them clean up messes that you weren't a part of making. And so people do that for me all the time. Jesus is our rescuer, but he allows people to walk that rescue right alongside him and walk with us in that. And I just think for as often as people have been a part of Jesus rescuing me, the idea that people invite me into some of their messes is really generous and kind, and I'm honored.
Isn't that the hands and feet of Jesus when somebody comes alongside and cleans up a mess that they didn't make?
Yeah, it feels like it in my life. It sure feels like it. That those friends of mine, you know, we've all been really close since high school for 20 years, they've been my best friends, and we have gotten messy together. We are all covered in it, but we also are real committed to being a part of the cleanup, whatever that is.
Sweet. Annie, let me take a little break. Annie F. Downs is my guest. She's written a book called Remember God, among others. We'll be back with more of Annie in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. It's 19 minutes after the hour. Annie F. Downs is my guest. Annie, what does the F stand for?
Oh, it's so complicated in Swiss. Okay. It's such a weird middle name. And so I like to tell people it's either fancy or fun.
Okay.
Because it's just the easiest way to remember.
All right. So why do we as Christians have a difficult time just coming to the realization that the story that God is writing for us is what it is, and we maybe don't like it or we just struggle with it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I can speak for all of our friends, but for me, it has been that I wrote a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote the different story, I really thought it matched what God had for me. Like, I really thought that I would be married with kids by now and have a minivan and a house with a lot of rooms. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I thought my life would look so different a decade ago than it does right now.
Yeah.
There's been tragedies that I never planned on, obviously.
Yeah.
And there's been gifts that I never expected. But this story has turned out so differently than the one I would have written. And I think what gets messy for us is not that the stories don't match, but the story we thought we were in, we thought God's hand was on, just like it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what makes it complicated, is that you think God's writing the same story you're writing, and then the story changes and you don't know what to do.
Well, or you write a script and assume that God is going to cooperate with it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I don't have
a lot of friends. I can't think of a lot of people who are bossy like that toward God necessarily. But I think in our hearts we go, well, here's what's going to happen next, right? And so I'll point toward that way, right, God?
Yeah.
And then God goes, you can walk that way, but what you don't know is 30 feet ahead of you, there's going to be a fork in the road, and you've got to turn right, and you're going to be disappointed because you think the story goes left and it goes right.
Mm-hmm. Do you struggle at all, Annie, with expectations you have about expectations with God?
I guess.
I go back to that great illustration that C.S. Lewis has in one of his many books, where he says, if before you enter a room, you're told it's a honeymoon suite, you open the door and you go, oh my goodness, what a dump. But before entering that same room, you're told it's a prison cell. You go, ooh, this is nice.
Yes, that's exactly right. I love that story. Part of my personality is I can dream up really big dreams, and I can see a story all the way to the end, even if we're only on chapter two. And so my expectations are that the book is going to end the way I thought it is. And this is literal for Remember God. I mean, when I write books, I write the first chapter first and the last chapter last. And I really thought I knew where that book was going, and it took a left turn
mm-hmm.
midway through, and it broke my heart.
Oh, sure.
And I had to keep writing. And so, yeah, expectations for me are almost a direct line to disappointment, but also we can't live without hope and expectation.
Totally.
And so I'm learning. I mean, I feel like I'm in the middle of learning how to balance that well.
Yeah. What happens when we forget about God?
Yeah, I think the problem is that we forget what he's really like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone in our faith family or any of our friends would say that they forget him altogether, but we just forget what his personality is really like, and we forget what his character is really like. And when that happens, we just get off course, Bill. I mean, at least I do. When I start not being able to remember who God really is when my heart gets the most broken, when I feel the most off center. And when I feel like I have the wrong glasses on to view the world, and
mm-hmm.
but it keeps being true that God resets me, that he's the one who rescues, that he's the one who goes, hey, I want to remind you who I really am.
Mm-hmm. When I think of the way God has designed me, when I drift away from his design, it's basically self-sabotage, and then I can't figure out why I'm unhappy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world, just so you know.
Me either, Bill. Listen, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer of any drawer that I've ever been in.
All right.
And so I know I'm the same way that so often I recognize, like, oh, the reason, it's almost like God lets me sit in the pain a little bit until I'm uncomfortable enough that I go, why am I uncomfortable? Oh, because I'm off center here and I'm missing out here. And so I'm grateful for the way he handles my lack of knowing the right thing to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So when you asked the question, is God kind, did you come up with some new depths in your relationship with God when you started to answer those questions?
You know, what's interesting is that's literally what I wrote in my, like, thank yous in the back of the book, my acknowledgments. I said, all thanks really to God who invited me to this story that I would have never picked for myself.
Yeah.
I had no idea how loved I was until you, until now, and until this.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it all again for who I have found you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that still is true, that I, in the last 2 years, have been in more pain and disappointment than I've probably been in my life, and I would do it again. I really would. I would do it again to know God the way I know him now versus how I knew him 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It's a big statement you just made, and I know it's gonna sound to some people like, oh boy, well, good for you, but look at the pain I'm in. What can you say to those folks?
Yeah, well, I would say I can't know the pain each person is in, right?
Uh-huh.
So I would never assume to go, I know how you feel, because I don't know how they feel. But what I do know is that we have a God that can meet us in whatever pain you are in whatever tragedy you're in. And they can't know the depths of my pain, right? Like the loss of people that I love, the disappointment for things that I thought were going to happen in my life that didn't. And what always remains true to me is that I keep watching in my friend's life that God shows up looking exactly like they need him to look in order to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the things they need to hear in order for them to heal. So for someone out there who goes, well, fine, Annie's okay, but I'm not. Well, just ask him who he is and ask him what it looks like for him to heal you, and he will.
Yeah, yeah. Annie, thanks so much for doing the show. I know you've got to run, but I would love to have you back on the show. And I know you're going to be at the Set Apart Conference, which is going to be here on the University of Northwestern campus in March. Do I have that right?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. And Bill, when you hit those million people on the radio, I want to come back on. I mean, I'm coming.
Welcome back to the show. You know how much I love speaking to Pastor Adam Weber from Embrace Church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And Adam is both a Renaissance man and a reclusive poet. And by reclusive, I mean he has never written a poem in his life, as far as I know. But he's with me on the studio line. Hello, Adam.
Hello. I'm excited to be on, and you are correct. I have never written a poem in my life.
I haven't either, so we're in good company. Now, I don't want you to think that I stalk you, because I certainly don't, but I did see something I saw online that I want to talk to you about today, if you're interested.
Yes, shoot away. Stalk you, by the way, but keep going.
Okay, good. I want to talk about the power of taking the next step.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Let's hear it. What's your question?
Well, I've got lots of questions. And I just want to say that when people have ideas, a lot of the times they've got no way of going about getting anything done. Or they have a dream, but they don't know how to do it. And they look at the big picture and they go, I don't know if I can do this. And I want to talk today about a very simple step of faith, which is simply taking the next step.
Absolutely. This is probably one of my favorite things to talk about, just because I've seen how God has used it just in my own life. Like you said, I think whether it's something big or even something small, we feel this nudge from God, which if we're following the Lord and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, hopefully we're feeling those on a regular basis. We feel these nudges or these callings or even these God-given dreams inside of us to do something, and yet we have no idea where to start, and so oftentimes we don't start at all. When I think what God is looking for us to do is just simply be willing to say yes to him and take the step that we can see. We can't see the whole plan in front of us, but what is the one step, what is the one action that we can take? And I'm such a simple, there's non-flashy, untalented person.
Who can't write poetry.
Always had that, who can't write poetry. But I've always been willing to say yes to God, to something big or something small, or even if something seems foolish. And so that next step might look different for all of us. But when we take that next step and the next step, it's amazing what God can do.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to start talking about some real steps that you took or stories that you have that illustrate the beauty of the next step.
Yeah, well, I feel like I can share so many different parts of my life. So being a pastor, never had a desire to be a pastor. I came to Christ as a sophomore in high school. I went to a conference that was at Wheaton College, gave my life to Christ, came back. The pastor said, Adam, would you be willing to come up front and share just a little bit about what God did in your life at the conference you were at? I was terrified. I didn't like speech class in high school. Brand new Christian, felt totally inadequate to say or do anything. Almost felt physically ill when he asked me. But I said yes. And so I came up front. I shared. Afterwards, he came and he pulled me aside and he spoke some of the most powerful words in my life. Adam, I think you have a gift. I think God's put something special inside you. And I asked what he meant. And I honestly don't think he really gave me the answer. I think he just kind of told me you have a gift. So when another opportunity came my way in college, I just got into college, just gotten more serious about my faith. Up to that point, I was still living two different lives and really got more serious about my faith. And the person who was leading the campus ministry I was a part of came to me and said, I think I'm going to step away from leading this. And I'm kind of going through a time in my faith that I'm really questioning God as a whole. So Adam, you can keep going if you want to. But if not, that's okay too. So in that night, I'm like, I'm a brand new Christian. How can I lead this ministry? And yet I was just willing to say yes. And I look at those different opportunities, big and small, and just where they brought me. It's just crazy. I mean, even writing a book, I never wanted to write a book, but a friend just asked if I'd be willing to have a cup of coffee with him and just began to put myself out there. And it's crazy what God can do when we're simply willing to say yes. Whether it's a phone call, gosh, should I pursue this job? I've always wanted to do this. Well, just make a phone call. Call somebody. Reach out and see if you can grab coffee with them and find out more about it. Reach out to a professor at the school you're considering going to and just ask the question. I think so many times we are so frozen that we're not willing to take any steps at all, and we're waiting for God just to roll it out right in front of us so there's no faith involved, instead of just that one open door, just being willing to walk through it, or even if it's closed, just be willing to knock on the door and see if it opens.
Isn't it fascinating? Because I look at in God's economy, and he takes ordinary people and he does extraordinary things with them.
He does. And for me, because I'm often paralyzed by fear,
mm-hmm.
and I'm often paralyzed by what I can do. And so even now as a pastor, there's days where I feel totally inadequate even to get up and preach a sermon. When I start looking at me, gosh, like, how, God, can you use me? And yet, thankfully, we're a God who uses foolish things. We're a God who looks at us, and when we're weak, he makes us strong. And so we are qualified because of God, not because of who we are and our gifts and our talents. And when he uses someone like a normal person, what I love about it is only God can get the credit. It's like, God, if you do anything in and through my life, it is so clear to me and anybody who knows me, it's so clear to them that the whole thing was all you. And so, you use this person, you used him or her, and yet God, that all of that was all you and only you, because of that, can get the credit and the glory and the honor and praise.
Yeah.
And we just get to be a tiny part of it, knowing the whole time it's all God.
You know, Adam, that distance between wherever you are at and the next step you can take is so short, but it's usually the most daunting. Do you have any idea why? Is it fear of failure? Is it fear of success? Is it fear of looking foolish? You want to do
it's
what?
Maybe different. Yeah. Well, it's maybe different for each of us. Maybe it's a fear of failure. Maybe it's maybe we've had success and God is asking us to take a step out of our comfort zone. And it's like, gosh, but I've kind of made it. I don't want to screw this up. While others of us, you know what I mean? It's like,
I
don't
exactly
know if I want to put myself out there.
Yeah.
Again. Sometimes our past successes is what keeps us from following God in the present and in the future. And so I think it looks different for each of us. From myself, it's definitely feeling totally inadequate and just feeling so like, why would God want to use me? Just a lot of insecurity, like, who am I? And of course that person, of course her, she can be used by God, but I can't. And so that's the thing that holds me back. But I think it's different for every single one of us. It might be a person in our life that's telling us we can't do things. Maybe we grew up and had a parent or a sibling who told us that we wouldn't amount to nothing. And so we listen to their voice, even friends that we're not in contact with, we listen to their voice instead of the voice of God. And so it might be different for every single person.
Yeah, and some of those things we heard when we were young, they're practically on, you know, in calligraphy on parchment paper, hanging up in our every room in our house. So we're never too far from it. Feeling inadequate, or you can't measure up, or you can't do this or that. And it's a lie.
Oh, it's a complete lie. I was speaking with someone a couple of weeks back, and their dad at a young age, because I was telling them about how excited I was about my son. He's really developed a love for music and just has a heart for worship and all this kind of thing. And just, it's just been awesome to see him grow. And I'm trying to do anything I can to help fan that flame and that passion just for his love for God. And so I was telling a friend about this, and he said, he's like, thank you for doing that for him. He said, I can remember as a junior in high school, I'm telling my dad about my love for music and all this kind of thing. And he said, you'll never amount to anything.
Ouch.
The rest of his siblings were into sports. And so the dad kind of encouraged sports. And he just told his son, you'll never amount to anything with music. And so it didn't help him out with anything, even though he could have. So he had to buy his own guitar because his parents didn't want to help anything with that. And I just like, wow, what a shaping thing. And what an impact, and something that you need to constantly, like, God, I want to listen to your voice and your calling. That person's now a worship leader, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, we want to listen to your voice instead of the voices around me.
Mm-hmm. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So if we only will look out over the horizon and say, I don't see success happening, or I don't see things working out the way I want or I envision, then you're going to be reluctant to take that first step.
You are. And a verse that always challenges me is in Hebrews. It says it's impossible to please God without faith. And so in our day-to-day lives, whenever we're living just in the comfort zone of what we can do, it's not pleasing to God because we're self-sufficient. And we're in control. Like in many ways, we actually are in control in those moments when we're living in our comfort zone. And yet I know for myself, I want to do everything to the glory and pleasing of God. And so it's like, Lord, I want to trust you. Here's the edge of what I can do. And I know this first step is out of my comfort zone and it's into you. It's stepping out of the boat. We think in the story of walking on water, we think the boat is where it's safe. And it's like, no, it's actually being the safest place is to be close to God. It's like, I want to be wherever he's at. Even if it's scary, even if it's uncertain, like, I don't want to stay in the boat. I want to stay near you, God. So would you just help me just to take this one step and then tomorrow to take the next step, because I want to so badly please you. I want to walk by faith, not by what I can see, not by what I can control, not by what I can do in my own strength.
Mm-hmm. Now, Adam, if you start emptying yourself of your own self and your own agenda, and you say to God, I want to empty myself and fill myself with you, is there a chance that in that process you are going to feel a little bit insecure? Because I know you talk so regularly about, you know, feeling vulnerable, and you're just open to God's calling in your life every day, which I just love about you. And then all of a sudden you talk about insecurities, and I go, well, where does that come from?
Yeah, I think when you're actually faithfully following God, you might be scared, but you'll have a peace you can't explain.
I love it. Yeah.
You might have worry about different things, but you'll have a joy that you can't describe. And I look at my life and the steps that I've taken. My life so far is not anything like I've planned. It's not anything like I've hoped, anything that if you would have asked me back in college, anything that I wanted. Hmm. And yet God's plan is so much better than our plan will ever be. It's like, your plan, God, I was a fool to ever think that that's what I should do or this is what I should do. And so I only want your plan. And so, again, when we step out of the boat, it might be scary. It might be uncertain. You might feel foolish. And yet when we are following Jesus, there's a joy and a peace and a kindness and goodness that you won't find anyplace else. And so for me, it's like, God, I just want to be as close to you as I can. And I just want to be as close to you as I can, because your plan is so much better. And our God, he loves to provide for us. He loves to care for us. And so it might be a hard road that we have to walk, and yet it's so good. And I can honestly say in every area of my life, his plan is just so much better. And it's unlike any plan that I would have written for myself.
I love that perspective. Adam Weber is my guest. Pastor of Embrace Church in Sioux Falls. We'll take a little break, and we'll come back with lots more of Adam in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I have on our studio line Pastor Adam Weber from Embrace Church in Sioux Falls. We are talking today about taking the next step, because there's probably 50 or 100 things on your plate that maybe you just need to take the next step with. And it's just a step of faith. And Adam, I love Romans 8:28. I know that verse gets used all the time about all things work together for good. And I always want to finish the verse, to those who are called according to his purpose. So if you're following Christ, you should be more bold in taking a step towards something God is calling you to do, or even encouraging or nudging you to do.
Yes. Discerning God's step for you, I think once you've gone through the discernment process of bringing it to God in prayer, maybe even asking a few friends who love Jesus and they love you and they care for you and they want to see you step out of your comfort zone. I think after you've done that, when you know what that next step is, again, whether it's something as simple as making a phone call about a job opening or reaching out to someone that you feel like, gosh, for some reason I'm supposed to speak to this person, mm-hmm. or just ask him a few questions. When we truly believe and have to kind of discern that step we're supposed to take, we can take it with confidence and boldness,
mm-hmm.
and trusting God, I'm not taking this step for any reason other than the fact that I feel like you told me to take it. And so I'm going to trust you that you'll provide, that you'll care for me. Even if the step fails or it leads to a closed door, I'm going to step boldly, trusting that you asked me to take this step.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, when you truly is something that you feel like God has led you to do, there's total peace. For me, even the idea of starting a church, there was not a part of me that wanted to start a church. I actually thought it was a bad idea. And so in the different harder seasons that you walk through in any ministry, there's been such a total peace and confidence of God. This was all your plan in the first place. It wasn't mine. And so I know you're going to take care of me. I know you're going to protect me. And because of that, I can boldly continue to walk forward.
Yeah, Adam, there's nothing inconsequential in God's economy, is there? You know, every little conversation you might have with somebody, every chance encounter you might have, might be God's plan for your life, and never to underestimate the power of what might be happening in this day.
Oh, exactly. I'm to the point now when I meet somebody, I always say, I have no doubt that we'll cross paths again in life. Where you're just like, it's only a matter of time, but somehow the two of us are going to cross paths.
Yeah.
And I look at something as simple as one of my jobs in college. So I somehow ended up delivering flowers for a flower shop. And I just heard about the job opening. It was close to my college that I was attending. So I was like, okay, I'll be a delivery boy. I like to drive around, listen to music. That's great. Well, at the time, I had a total fear of hospitals and funeral homes.
I mean, and those are the two places you go to the most.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to be a pastor, you better feel comfortable around hospitals and funeral homes.
Yeah.
And so I was terrified, though. But through that job, the two places you go more than any other places as a flower delivery boy are funeral homes and hospitals. And it forced me out of my comfort zone to get very comfortable in those settings. And I found myself, even though I had no desire at that time to ever be a pastor, I'd come in and I'd drop off flowers. And oftentimes when you're dropping off flowers to a hospital, it's because a loved one can't bring them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of in place of their son, if it's a mom or somebody. And so what I started doing was I dropped the flowers in the room, and then I would tell the person, man, aren't those flowers beautiful? And would you want me to read the card for you? Because you can't get up right now. Should I read the card? And I found myself becoming a pastor in those moments.
Wow.
And I got to the place where if it felt appropriate, I would pray for them as well. Would you mind if I prayed really quick? Just for you, if I sense that they're heavy. And so you look back, though, and it's like, this was the best seminary training ever for being a pastor. And I thought it was just a random job that I just so happened to take.
Yeah. So Flower Boy is praying with people.
Yeah, exactly. I did not mention it to my boss. I was praying with people.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to keep that between you and God. You and
right.
me, God.
Right. But like I said earlier, there's nothing, inconsequential in God's economy. He sees down the road, and you're just taking a step towards employment, and all of a sudden you find yourself doing almost seminary training, delivering flowers.
Yeah, it's crazy. I even think about different hardships that we walk through. So elementary school was just a hard time in my life. Just was not popular, was picked on. And it shaped me in a many, many ways. So just something that I'm like, gosh, I hope my kids never have to experience that. And yet from that place of pain that I've had, I just have a passion for the outsider to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
For the person who doesn't belong, even if it's in a conversation, there's a room full of people and I see one person that just is kind of left out for whatever reasons. I've just always had a desire just to connect with them and let them know that they're cared for and that they're seen by somebody. And so through that season, like you look back, gosh, I hope my kids never experience that. I feel like I developed like a part of the heart of God in that, of just Jesus constantly looking at the outsider. Who's the outsider in the room or the person who feels like they don't belong in church or with a group of friends or at work? It became a passion of mine. And so those different things that we've been through, even just hard things that we've been through, God is able to use those in wonderful, wonderful ways. And that might end up being the next step that we're supposed to take. There might be something connected to that of, gosh, I've always had a heart for single moms because I've been a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a heart for people who have struggled with you know, schoolwork, because I struggled with schoolwork. So whatever it might be, it's amazing how God weaves that in and out of our life.
Adam, I'm just starting to figure out how and why your church is popular. I mean, you know, your empathy for this person you just described, this person will sometimes go to these services or wherever they go, and maybe the question inside their brain is anyone going to notice me?
Yeah.
That's what I love. One of the many things I love about you is your heart regarding that person.
Well, I appreciate the kindness. I think more than any other time, people are looking for a place. I just heard this somewhere else. People are looking for a place to belong before they have to believe.
Yeah.
And I hope that's the church is, gosh, even before you agree or disagree with Bible or whatever it might be, like, we're going to first just love on you like crazy in hopes that you come to know the one, Jesus, who has loved us so well.
Yeah.
I'm humbled by your words.
And sometimes it's easier to, you know, shake a pointy finger at somebody than it is to just come alongside them and love them where they're at. And I think that's what Jesus calls us to do.
He does. He just calls us to meet a person right where they are. And I was just even telling my oldest son the other day, we can't expect someone who doesn't follow Jesus to act like someone who does.
Yeah.
And so it's our job in the meantime just to keep loving them and loving them and loving them, in hopes that they'll meet Jesus, and Jesus, then he'll change everything about their life.
Yeah. So how many around the Thanksgiving table this year for you?
We will be up with my parents up in Northeast South Dakota. So it'll be mom and dad and siblings. And I can't wait for it. Actually, it's been just a couple of weeks since we've gotten together, actually a few months since all of my immediate family's been together. And I can't wait to have everybody together.
Yeah, would you send your dad a message? Tell him that I want to speak to him. I want to interview him on the show.
I will. I definitely will.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd be honored to be on, and he'd be incredible to have on the show.
Yeah. And then your church family, are you planning lots of outreach? And
we are. This Thursday night, we are actually doing, we call it a team rally night, where we're having a time of worship and a time of praying over the season, just that people would come to know Jesus. It's honestly a highlight of my year is the rally night.
Keeping the main thing the main thing. It's another thing I love about you, Adam.
If we don't point people to Jesus, we completely miss the boat. And so it's like, yeah, you don't want to be impressed with us as a church. You don't want to be impressed with this or that. We just want you to meet Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Amen. Adam Weber, thank you so much for coming on the show. Always great to talk to you. Adam's book is called Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. It's a great book. Adam, have a great day, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you.
That wraps up hour one. We've got a great hour two coming up for you. Rebecca Ree is going to be joining me, and also Doug Groothaus. So a couple of theologians and great thinkers. So we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with hour two in just a couple of minutes.